It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 11th day of July, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. This is The Horn chat room, at least during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding because people listen at 11 o'clock at night in the UK. They listen sometime yesterday, tomorrow morning in the Antipodean South. Yeah, I just like to have an excuse to use Antipodean. I do. I confess it. But anyway, if you do pop by, you'll be greeted by the early arriver, namely Squeaky, who is in the chat room and awaiting your arrival. Hey, Squeaky. There's Theo. Hey, Theo. Didn't want Squeaky to be all alone. Hey. Yeah, and there's Matt in San Francisco. Hey, Matt. And everybody is capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, a day in which we celebrate Titanic examples of right-wing intellect. And we got a couple of dandies today, but I don't want to get ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn beginneth with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, as a consequence, we say thank you to our 11th day of the month subscribers, and that means thank you ever so kindly to Christopher up in Oregon, and thank you to John in Maryland. Thank you to Tony and Chico. Thanks so much. To you all for being partial sponsors of the program and keeping all the plates spinning on all the sticks. Sincerely, thank you. And so the fundraising goal for this evening, where is it? So we got down, let's see, 1140. $1,140 is the fundraising goal as we try to keep the lupine pest off the porch, the lights on, the phones being phone, no, that's not a good word. The phones connected, the internet up and running, and just generally running the joint here. So if you'd like to help out, if you'd like to be a subscriber, well, run over to headon.live. There's a box there under the PayPal interface that says make this a recurring monthly donation. And if you click that, you just set it and forget it, and you know that your 10 bucks will come out on the 11th day in this particular instance of every month. Thank you. Thank you ever so kindly. And, of course, a la carte contributors are more than welcome each and every evening that we're on the air. So at 11:40, that means we are unfunded for today, yesterday, Friday, and $240 of Thursday. So hopefully it'll change. Hopefully that'll improve. By the way, thank you for listening to the podcast, those of you who do. Thank you so very, very much indeed. Whenever you listen to the podcast, if you would be so kind, wherever it is, whatever platform you're on that you listen to the podcast, please like it, subscribe it, follow it, so that every new episode, you'll get a notification and an opportunity to download it and listen. Yes, Jeremy, that was what I was going to say, keeping the phones phony. Oof. It just didn't seem quite to work. Steve in New York adds, the podcast/program. I'm more of a quotidian listener. I finally wanted to use quotidian in a sentence and to use it correctly. Yes. And many quotidian listeners find it to be an anodyne portion of their quotidian lives. Oh dear God, this is not, we're not going down the art of word knowing road this evening, are we? Yeah, we might, Rabbit, we might. But it is a Titanic Tuesday, and we have much Titanic right-wingery to explore. It was a beautiful day today, by the way. Annette about had to chase me in, into the studio. Had to run a bunch of errands, but the sun just felt so good. And, well, it's warm enough that we won't talk about naked radio, okay? That's not ladylike, but it is Brazilian bikini radio. How about that? I think at the top of my list of Titanic funsies today, and it really was kind of a coin toss, but I got more joy out of this particular story. This is just so much fun. The whistleblower on the Biden crime family has been indicted. Because the whistleblower isn't a whistleblower. He's a creep. And apparently an unregistered foreign agent. Not a whistleblower. We got some good news. Maybe this will be in the Green News Report later. But I want to see if I can get to the... the man who is vying to be stupidest person in the United States Senate, he unburdened himself of some Titanic intellect today. And Darlene, if you're out there, there's been another Icelandic volcano eruption. It was on the Reykjanes Peninsula. I haven't actually seen the name of the volcano. Unfortunately, it's not Eyjafjallajökull because we already know how to pronounce that one. There are warnings out in Iceland about gas levels. All trails to the volcano are closed. Massive gas pollution that is life-threatening. And it must be a doozy of a name, because the CNN story that I'm looking at does not include it, because they know that it would drive both their anchors and their readers bananas. There are apparently plumes of smoke, but not sufficient yet to screw up transatlantic aviation, so thank heaven for small favors. But back to the whistleblower. This is so much fun. Just some days you get a little gift from the universe. Now, hi, Darlene. Darlene says, oh, geez, not another one. The nation of volcanoes. And my evening case of the hiccups have arrived, so my apologies. But seriously, there we are. I'm sorry. Gal Luft is the so-called whistleblower, not a real whistleblower in question. Gal Luft is, among other things, on the lam, because Gal Luft has been charged with violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act, arms trafficking, and sanctions violations. God, I feel like that scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Oh, go and get a drink of water. Which I think I shall do. There, maybe I'm all better now. No, yesterday, the DOJ announced an indictment against Luft. Luft is, of course, an Israeli-American co-head of a Maryland-based think tank. DOJ says Luft violated the Foreign Affairs Agents Registration Act, and the maggots have been barking and grunting and squealing about how Luft is a whistleblower on dirty dealings by the Biden family, what they call the Biden crime family. I happen to recall where that phrase began. It was the Bush crime family, because there was actual evidence of that. Luft was arrested in Cyprus back last February and then scampered off, jumped bail, as it were. And so on Monday, the indictment unsealed, released, charges left with offenses related to willfully failing to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, arms trafficking, Iranian sanctions violations, and making false statements to federal agents. Luft, if convicted, could face a maximum of 100 years in prison. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams said that Luft subverted foreign agent registration laws in the United States to seek to promote Chinese policies by acting through a former high-ranking U.S. government official. Well, I wonder who that could have been. Luft also, according to the charges, negotiated illicit arms transactions with, among others, certain Chinese individuals and entities. Libya is in the mix, as is the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, and Iran. And last week, Luft posted a video saying that, and this is Trumpian, saying that the federal government was attempting, with his arrest in February, to prevent him from exposing corruption by the Bidens. The Bidens did it. And claimed that the Bidens are in bed with the Chinese military. And he said, I'm now being hunted by the very same people who I informed. But do you remember the stories about the missing whistleblower? You lost your whistleblower, didn't you, James Comer, you freaking genius? Out of Kentucky, Stan Comer, is he? Yeah, he heads the House Oversight Committee. Wile E. Coyote, super genius. Oh, for heaven's sakes. And on Sunday, apparently with some degree of knowledge ahead of time, somebody leaked or something, Ron Johnson, also a competitor for stupidest member of the Senate of the United States, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mill there. When he walks down the street, all the people he meets say, hey, what's your name? And he says, my name is Ron Johnson. I live in Wisconsin. I work in the lumber mill there. Ron Johnson said that this arms dealer, this fucking spy, was arrested to silence him. Yeah, you betcha, to silence him. And now maggots high and low in the federal government and elsewhere, probably all over right-wing radio and the like, are having kittens with crocheted tails. Claiming that somehow or another, with his magic wizard powers, Joe Biden has, yeah. The thing is, though, Luft was actually indicted months before James Comer. Genius, maggot, James Comover. Now, let me see here. He might be a little thin up top. Yeah, James Comover called him a credible source months after he had already been indicted. Part of probably why the Republican Party didn't want to make mention of the indictment. A little while back, James Comer gave an interview to Newsmuck. That terribly, terribly unbiased news source. That's sarcasm.
I said, well, it's very credible, and the people on MSNBC who made fun of me when I said we had an informant that was missing, they should feel like fools right now, and this is their worst nightmare.
Ah, no. Oh, I didn't know that, Steve. Back to Tommy the Tuber. Steve notes, vying? You mean, as Charlie Pierce calls him, the Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville R punt formation? Yeah, but as someone who was born in Alabama and who is manifestly ashamed of Tommy the Tuber, I know where Tommy the Tuber was born himself, and so I choose to blame Arkenstan. Sorry, Haley. This one goes to you, girlfriend. You deal with him.
No, he's very credible,
James Comer said. And so, the Republicans knew all about Luft and knew all about what Luft was saying. And so they conducted, the maggots did, their own little investigation and as far back as 2020 and could not find anything that Luft had to say that would be particularly damning to the Biden campaign all the way back in 2020. As the article I'm looking at, Riley notes, that's Rye with W-R-Y-L-Y. It's not an article by someone named Riley. His indictment could have been what was taking up so much of his time. And today, with their vast conspiracy theory against the Biden family in complete shambles, James Comer crawled out in front of a microphone and said,
well, the timing is always coincidental, according to the Democrats at the Department of Justice.
I had no idea that the Department of Justice was staffed entirely by Democrats. In fact, the Department of Justice is primarily staffed by career civil servants whose politics are largely irrelevant, and there are probably as many Republicans as there are Democrats, if not more, because it's an authoritarian structure, and Republicans gravitate to authoritarian institutions. But the whole thing with Comer's barking and grunting and braying and whatnotting about the Department of Justice moving against Luft, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The indictment was unsealed yesterday. He was actually indicted back before this godforsaken Congress was even seated. And so the charges against him indicate that, well, I mean, he wasn't exactly committing full-on spying, espionage, but he was acting in the interests of China. And Marcy Wheeler made note of the fact that Luft even met with Department of DOJ lawyers in 2019 in Brussels, wherein, I suppose, sprouted some of the information behind the charges. So ashamed. Don't even offer me a cowbell for that. Brussels sprouted. I couldn't resist. But in fact, they were DOJ lawyers from Nitwit Nero's administration. And they're the same lawyers who were actually on the indictment. They were taking a look at Luft as a possible target of indictment because he's a
and this is a complicated legal term. I apologize for diving into the weeds so early. A fucking crook. So while the, and this again is something Marcy Wheeler pointed out, while the maggots bark and grunt about Eric Swalwell and the Chinese spy, and they actually took him off the House Intel Committee because he dated the woman when he didn't even know she was a spy. Well, they claimed they were doing it for national security, the maggots did. The problem is there's a real Chinese spy, unregistered foreign agent. And while Eric Swalwell didn't try to use the woman as a witness or bring her to Congress or no, well, Comer's done exactly that with Gal Luft. Yes, if you find yourself wiping your face, James Comer, that's probably a whole lot of, well, egg. And then, as I noted, there's Tommy the Tuber. Tuberville. Potato Farm. Potato Town. Remember, Nitwit Nero was photographed with Guy Fieri going to Flavortown in Las Vegas. So Tommy the Tuber gave another unburdening of his thoughts, on white nationalism. Oh, for pity's sakes. Tommy the Tuber declaring because after all, he is a titanic right-wing intellect. Tommy the Tuber showed up on The Source with Caitlin Collins, and she asked him about his previous remarks on white nationalism. He said, "My opinion of a white nationalist, if someone wants to call them white nationalist to me, is an American. An American." Previously, the Alabama radio interview, he said, when someone said, should white nationalists be allowed in the United States military, because suddenly, for reasons known not to me nor God, Tommy the Tuber is an authority on the U.S. military. Well, asked if they should be allowed in the U.S. military, I call them Americans. I call them Americans. That's what I call them, Americans. Meanwhile, a lot of people are pissed off with Tommy the Tuber because Tommy the Tuber is fucking with a lot of people's lives, namely high-ranking military brass whose promotions he's holding up. Just because he can.
Because the United States military is too woke.
And so now, and I can't fault him for this. I mean, you know, when you get denounced by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, it doesn't come across as much of a denunciation because Chuck is not a very fiery guy. Going on social media, Schumer said, the definition of white nationalism is not a matter of opinion. White nationalism, the ideal that white people are inherently superior, that people of color should be segregated, subjected, and relegated to second-class citizenship, is racist down to its rotten core. GOP Senator Tuberville has been on a one-man mission to defend white nationalism and even suggest that white nationalism is American. To speculate about what white nationalism means as if it's some fun little thought experiment is deeply disturbing. And then on the Senate floor yesterday, Schumer, did what is seldom done, so you got to give him credit for that. He actually denounced Tuberville. He said, it's hard to believe that the senator from Alabama has to be corrected again. The senator from... Really? Is it hard to believe, Chuck? I mean, man, come on. He's from Talabama. He's a football coach. Of course he has to be corrected again and again and again because he was sent there by fucking morons, Chuck. On the floor, Schumer continued and said, the senator from Alabama is wrong, wrong, wrong. The definition of white nationalism is not a matter of opinion. White nationalism, the ideology that one race is inherently superior to other people of color, should be segregated, subjected, and relegated to second-class citizenship, is racist down to its rotten core. And for the senator from Alabama to obscure the basic nature of white nationalism is indeed very, very dangerous. These words have power and carry weight at the fringe of his constituency, just the fringe. Wrong, wrong, Chuck, wrong. It's not just the fringe of his constituency. His entire constituency is rotten. Dirty, stinking, filthy, rotten. They voted for him. That is proof in the pudding of how rotten they are. Schumer went on and said, but if that fringe listens to him excusing, defending white nationalism, he is fanning the flames of bigotry and intolerance. Well, duh! That's an actual political strategy in a state like Alabama. Schumer continued and said, last week, the gunman who killed 23 people in an El Paso Walmart was sentenced to 90 life terms in prison. He was a self-described white nationalist. The man who murdered 10 people at the top supermarket in my home state of New York in Buffalo was a white nationalist. And if these examples aren't clear enough, let's not forget Charlottesville, where neo-fascists, far-right radicals, far-right militias, I don't know why he didn't say Trump supporters, because they were, paraded through the streets carrying torches and chanting, Jews will not replace us. Those are who are white nationalists. This isn't a joke. This is deadly serious stuff. And for a member of the United States Senate to speculate about what white nationalism means as if some benign little thought experiment is deeply disturbing, I urge my Republican colleagues to impress upon the senator from Alabama the destructive impact of his words and urge him to apologize. Oh, who in the hell do you think is going to do that, Chuck? Mike Lee of Utah? The constitutional scholar? Remember, Mike was right next to him, hiding under a desk on January 6, 2021, when Tommy the Tuber's phone rang, and he said, oh, no, Mr. President. No, no, this ain't Mike Lee's phone. Mike Lee's right here. Here, Mike, you talk to him. Really? Is Ted Cruz going to upbraid Tommy the Tuber? Maybe Ron Johnson can do that. Or John Cornholio. I mean, we can go through the entire list of the Republican minority in the Senate of the United States, and I don't think, not even noted Republican moderate Susan Cummins is going to tell him to quit being a racist asshole, because the Republican Party is a racist asshole party. Come on. Chuck, welcome to reality world. Tuberville said, well, I'll look at white nationalist as a Trump Republican. Well, I mean, that much is true. Well, that's what we're called all the time. And so yesterday evening on CNN, he said, well, I'm totally against racism. But when Caitlin Collins said that white nationalism is racist, he said, well, that's your opinion. I guess we've got another Big Lebowski fan on our hands.
Well, like, that's your opinion, man. Listen,
Tommy the Tuba said, speaking to a black reporter, I'm totally against racism. If the Democrats want to say that white nationalists are racist, I'm totally against that too. And then he sounded on CNN last night a little bit like maybe he was backtracking. He said, well, people think that a white nationalist is racist. I agree with that. A white nationalist... And Caitlin Collins said a white nationalist is someone who believes that the white race is superior to other races. Well, that's some people's opinion, Tommy the Tuber said. To which Caitlin Collins replied, well, what's your opinion?
Well, my opinion of a white nationalist to me is an American. It's an American.
Now, if that white nationalist is racist, I'm totally against anything that they want to do because I'm 110% against racism. But I want somebody that's in our military that's strong, that believes in this country, that's an American that will fight along with anybody, whether it's a man or a woman, black or white or red. It doesn't make any difference. Leave the indigenous people out of this, you asshole. And then continued and said, not liking white nationalism is identity politics. I'm so totally against identity politics. I think it's ruining this country. And I think the Democrats ought to be ashamed for how they're doing this because it's dividing this country and it's making this country weaker every day. Oh, for the love of God. Caitlin Collins went back to the well and tried one more time. She said, you said a white nationalist is an American, but a white nationalist is someone who believes horrific things. Do you really think that that's someone who should be serving in the military?
Well, it's just a name that's been given.
It's a real definition, she said. There's real concerns about extremism. So you're going to do away with most white people in this country out of the military? We got huge problems. We got huge problems. Caitlin Collins was overmatched by his stupidity. She said, it's not just people who are white, it's white nationalists.
Oh, that have a few probably different beliefs. That have a few different beliefs.
Now, if racism is one of those beliefs, I'm totally against. I'm totally against racism. And, you know, it's not prayer meeting Wednesday or anything, but, you know, lo, she stood at the door and knocked, and, well, Tommy Tuberville answered. She said, but a white nationalist is racist.
What's your opinion? That's your opinion. But if it's racism, I'm totally against it.
Matt in San Francisco noting Chuck Schumer. I've always got a 1950s comedian in the Catskill Mountains vibe from Chuck. Yeah. Only, you know, didn't make much of a career out of comedy, you know? Take my wife, please. Steve in New York adding, let's be clear here. To say that the senator from punt formation knows what nationalism is a big stretch. I think he thinks a white nationalist is a white person who is nationalist in the same way that Trump thinks the Presidential Records Act means that the records are the president's records. Or that there's a law that allows the president to choose his own vinyl. Jesus! I really think this is peak Titanic Tuesday, this stuff. By the way, going back to Gal Luft for a minute, Nerd Alert, a.k.a. Brother Usher Super Esoteric Steve, lawyers... I looked a little further into the Gal Luft arrest indictment. He was arrested in Cyprus boarding a plane back to Israel pursuant to an Interpol arrest warrant. There's a process that Interpol follows, including having lawyers and other officials looking at the evidence before issuing a warrant pursuant to what is called a red notice, which is not an allegation of communism, by the way. No, it's code red. Get this fucker now. And you're right, Steve. The whole episode with Tommy the Tuber can be easily filed under the second commandment of W.C. Fields. The third commandment, that is. Don't smarten up a chump. But this whole Tommy the Tuber thing... has just really caused quite the stir. Over on CNN today, Jake Tapper apparently was fresh out of Fox to give.
Welcome back. Republican Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville once again raising eyebrows over his definition of a white nationalist. Our Caitlin Collins asked him last night to explain comments he made in May in which he said that he considered white nationalists to be Americans. Here's last night's exchange for you to hear Tuberville explain it for himself.
A white nationalist is someone who believes that the white race is superior to other races.
Well, that's some people's opinion. And I don't think,
that's
Pardon?
What's your opinion?
My opinion of a white nationalist, if somebody wants to call him white nationalist, to me is an American. It's an American. Now, if that white nationalist is a racist, I'm totally against anything that they want to do because I am 110% against racism.
A lot of people that believe in different things. A white nationalist is racist, Senator.
Well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. But if it's racism, I'm totally against it.
Joining us now is CNN's chief Washington correspondent, anchor of The Lead and State of the Union, Jake Tapper. His latest book, All the Demons Are Here, is out today. You should read it. But first, I'm going to ask Jake to explain exactly what Senator Tommy Tuberville was trying to say there.
Well, I can't get into the head of Senator Tuberville. He seems to be trying to parse the difference between people who are abject racists like members of the Ku Klux Klan and people who are merely white nationalists who believe in the supremacy of white people. But this is not a difference. This is not a difference, a distinction without a difference. It doesn't make much sense. His comments make more sense when you consider what he said in October at a campaign rally. The most abjectly racist thing I've heard from a U.S. senator in decades, and I'm quoting here, and he said this on tape, so at some point later today you can roll the tape, but he said, Democrats, quote, want crime because they want to take over what you got. They want reparations because they think the people that do the crime are owed that. Now, as we all know, reparations is, that's a debate going on about whether the descendants of former slaves should be paid reparations because of the of that history.
Damages.
The idea that he defines the people that do the crime as the defendants of slaves is nakedly racist. That's Senator Tuberville's own words, and I think that there are serious questions about his views when it comes to matters of race and white supremacy.
Yeah, that was really illuminating. I remember when he said that. Wow. Let's talk about something else in the news today, Jake Tapper, and that is what Donald Trump's legal team is seeking to postpone the trial in the classified documents case.
I mean,
they're
wow, that's all she's got.
The 2024 election, because they argue it would be unfair to do so while he is running. Clearly, this delay, a potential delay, would be advantageous for the former president.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not unexpected. It is what I would expect any lawyer to try to do. Obviously, you want to delay the case as long as possible, A, so you can prepare for it, and B, if President Trump is reelected in November 2024, then the case goes away. So it's not anything that I would not expect his lawyers to be pushing. And in fact, it suggests that his lawyers, at least in this case, have some idea of what they're doing and are aggressively representing their client. I do not expect the judge in this case to go along with that. That is, that's not a legal argument to say I want to be able to push this off because I'm going to be busy running for president. But it is, I think right now we need to keep an eye on the judge to see what she does.
Yeah, and certainly she's made a lot of news.
Trump appointed.
So very interesting to watch. All right, Tapper.
Yes.
We got to ask about your book.
Yes.
Pretty sure it's the only reason you woke up early.
Nope. We're going to pass on the book hustle. That's a five-minute clip. And we could have done less with the business about, you know, the Trump legal team, what the ever. Boy, that sure was a blistering takedown. On the other hand, there's a man named Roy S. Johnson who writes a column for AL.com, and he really did sort of take Tommy the Tuber to the woodshed. He, in a piece published there, he said, Tommy Tuberville gives us nothing to hold on to, nothing fanciful or fruitful, nothing engaging or impactful, nothing. Yet Alabama's senior U.S. Senator walks on, talks on. He spins and spins and spins invisible yarn and prays we see something that is not there, lest he be deemed unfit for the job. None of Tuberville's fellow Republicans, those representing the state in the U.S. House of Representatives, voted for the infrastructure bill either. They just had enough sense to say nothing, whereas Tommy was out there braying about the money coming into Alabama, thanks to Democratic senators in other states, and not a single damned Republican in Alabama. And he said Tuberville is blocking military promotions like a petulant child because he doesn't want women in the military, women sacrificing to serve our nation, to have equitable access to medical options. You know, abortion. And Johnson went so far as to say, you know, Tuberville's own brother even chose to publicly distance himself from the senator with no clothes, which too many continue to ignore, lest he be deemed unfit for the job. That, Jake Tapper, is how you do a takedown. Or maybe you tune in to The View. Because Whoopi had some words.
Senator Tommy Tuberville went on Kate Collins'
show. She said
and
Tuberville. Hi, Whoop.
To act like he didn't know what white nationalists were or meant. And he tried to clarify his comments about the same thing. And whether or not they belong in the military. So this is what happened. Show the clip, please.
White nationalists should not be serving in the U.S.
Here
military.
We go again.
Is that what you're saying?
If people think that a white nationalist is a racist, I agree with that. I agree they
A white nationalist is someone who believes that the white race is superior to other races.
Well, that's some people's opinion. And I don't think,
that's
I mean,
not
a lot. Pardon?
What's your opinion?
My opinion of a white nationalist, if somebody wants to call him white nationalist, to me is an American. It's an American. Now, if that white nationalist is a racist, I'm totally against anything that they want to do because I am 110% against racism. But I want somebody that's in our military, that's strong, that believes in this country, that's an American, that will fight along anybody, whether it's a man or woman, black or white, red, it doesn't make any difference. And so I'm totally against identity politics.
He's a racist himself, it sounds like, because he, in 2011, he was a college football coach, uh-huh. And he appeared on Fox News and supported Trump's birtherism against Obama.
Yeah.
Okay, that was one. He claims, as a senator, a candidate for the Senate, he claimed that immigrants were bringing in drugs and diseases. He's on that team. He's got that same mentality, so don't BS us.
Well, I'm not excusing him at all, but when you watch the whole interview, he literally seems confused or ignorant to the term because he keeps
stupid. The word is stupid, sugar.
It must be identity politics. Then there's the word nationalist, which is okay by itself. Then you add white to the front of it, and it becomes very problematic. He could not distinguish. He kept thinking nationalist meant patriotic.
But what
very different terms.
But when you call somebody a white nationalist, why is the word white in there if it doesn't have to do with race?
No, white makes it about race.
Yeah.
Nationalist is just people that are proud of their country. I would say everyone
no, the fuck
around
it isn't.
The world is a nationalist. It's a when you start adding the white nationalist.
Some people are internationalists. Not well, everybody's a nationalist.
Tommy Tuberville, not the brightest bulb, but kudos to Caitlin Collins. She just keeps pressing him. I think she's such an excellent interviewer, but here's what he's saying is problematic on two fronts. A, he just does not know what white nationalism is. It's synonymous with racism. Like there's no
it's a euphemism for white supremacy.
Correct.
And I'm sorry, you're from Alabama. You know exactly what we're saying. You know exactly what
exactly.
We're talking. You can't fool us. We know what it means.
But he's also undermining the military in two different ways. First, by not upfront saying we should not have white nationalists in the military. We currently have the most diverse force in American history. You should, of course, not have white nationalists. You shouldn't expect somebody to serve next to a racist in our military. That would undermine us in unthinkable ways. But he's also holding up nominations for Pentagon promotions. So for the first time in 164 years, the Marine Corps is without a commandant right now. They have an acting in the role. But that affects military readiness. So you can't do the whole I'm the biggest military guy when you're actually hurting our readiness.
So, in fact, he doesn't care about the country. He wants to make sure everybody knows where his personal stance is. Mm-hmm. Because you're elected to join a large group of people from diverse backgrounds who think lots of different things, but there's certain things you have to do. You can't mess with the military mm-hmm. because you don't like some of their policies. But
like
it's only the women's policies that you're not digging. And that to me is doubly annoying.
I think what's problematic for me is the stupidity that's just so apparent.
Thank you, Sonny.
You know,
thank
about
you.
Alabama, he has a lot of things to think about that he should be concentrating on rather than this. I think in 2021, about 16% of Alabama's population lived below the poverty line.
Oh, yeah.
He has a very, very low education rate. He is an example of that by not knowing what white nationalism is or claiming not to know what white nationalism is. The very definition in Merriam-Webster's dictionary is one of a group of militant white people who espouse white supremacy and advocate enforce racial segregation.
Well, it's just
in
a dictionary opinion.
And I hope that's something that he has handy when
he's
doing his work.
Yeah, you're giving him too much credit.
Maybe I am because he's
forever.
A congressperson and he's been there forever.
Yes, and he knows exactly
the
what
other
it is.
Thing is, did he not listen to Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, when he testified that the greatest threat to our democracy is white supremacy and white nationalism, and more importantly, that they have infiltrated law enforcement and the military. These are not, don't come for me on Twitter. These are not my words. These are the words of the FBI agent. And if you are a congressperson, you sat in that hearing and you listened to
And you're the head guy making these choices.
Yeah.
This is a BS job, sir. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking BS. You're trying to make people believe something. You're trying to make people believe that you're stupid. And you're not.
Hold on. I disagree with Whoopi there. He's not trying to make people believe he's stupid when he's not. He's stupid. And as someone born and raised in Alabama, I take umbrage at the fact that they're somehow assuming that he's stupid because he's from Alabama. No, again, y'all, Arkansas, you know I love you. He's from Arkansas. He is literally an Arkansas traveler, okay? If there was a failure of an education system with Tommy the Tuber, it was an education system in Arkansas. Oh, Lord, the internecine squabbling. Stephen New York noting, nationalist, let me clear about something. A nationalist is a person who thinks that her own country is above all other countries. This is the America love it or leave it bullshit. A patriot is a person who loves her country and works to change it when it's wrong and support it when it is right. Obvious, one might think. Steve adding, listen to Christopher Wray, are you kidding me? This fucker doesn't listen to anyone or anything more than he reads anything that someone writes.
That's just your opinion, man.
Oh...
that they have infiltrated law enforcement and the military. These are not, don't come for me on Twitter.
Yeah, and see, I think Sonny Hostin is so on point here, because that is the real problem that underpins all of this, and for which Tommy the Tuber is giving aid and comfort. And it is something that more than probably any other program here, we have talked for literally years about the fascism problem on the rise in this country. My God, I was talking about it at the very beginning of this program. Jesus, Malloy has been talking about it since 1987. And a prophet is never welcome in their own land. Henry Wallace was talking about it in 1944. And everybody made the assignment. Oh, no. I mean, you know, Nazis wear Hugo Boss uniforms. No. Ask a German what a Nazi looks like. They weren't all in uniform. There were plenty. The entire legislative apparatus of the German state in between 1933 and 1945 was Nazis, and they weren't all wearing Hugo Boss uniforms. And we have had them here all along. Charles Lindbergh, for the love of God. And across the pond, that royal who abdicated, and Wallace Simpson, you know, they went over and had snacks with that lovely Mr. Hitler. At a time when people were telling Churchill that he was batshit crazy for thinking Germany was up to something. And they kind of breezed past it on this clip from The View. And if there's one thing no one should be breezing past, it's people sounding alarm bells, sirens even, about the continuing rising Nazi problem, white nationalist, white supremacist, Klansmen, whatever you, but we put them all under the rubric of white nationalism because they're all distinctions without a difference. Now, granted, and Micah was telling me about this earlier today, some maggots got in a brawl up in Michigan, and that's always fun to see. You know, that's one of those classic, come on, let's you and him fight moments. Scuffle breaks out at Michigan GOP state committee meeting. DeYoung opened the door. He kicked me in my balls as soon as I opened the door. DeYoung provided his account in a phone interview from an emergency room in Clare, Michigan. DeYoung said he had suffered a broken rib. God, I hope it didn't hurt too little. Oh, Edward the Eighth, thank you. The Duke of Windsor. Thank you, Steve. Steve is serving as our Horn ad hoc British Royals Research Department. Fucker had a pact, Steve notes, with Hitler to reinstate him as king if he gave Germany unfettered access to the UK. Battenbergs. Okay, I've gotten on the wrong side of Steve. Oh, dear, dear Robin, please don't associate the dude we'd be upon him with these people. Well, I didn't. Tommy Tuberville did. All of his, that's an opinion stuff. Okay, Billable Rick.
Robin, stop telling us how bad the educational system is in Arkansas.
Please don't hate me, Haley. I just had to get some relief. Anyway, so Sonny makes her point about what Christopher Wray said, and then onward.
These are not my words. These are the words of the FBI agent. And if you are a congressperson, you sat in that hearing and you listened to
and
it.
And you're the head guy making these choices.
Yeah.
This is a BS job, sir. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking BS. You're trying to make people believe something. You're trying to make people believe that you're stupid, and you're not.
And by the way,
I'm not so sure.
But by the way,
because he's smart enough to know so many other things. This man knows exactly what
you think he's
we're
just
talking.
Dancing
he's,
around.
Yes,
it.
Yes, he's doing what a number of these folks do. Mm. They suddenly don't know what anything means. They don't know. What do you mean? That's race. Mm. What do you see? This is that.
What's the over under on Whoopi using the term rope-a-dope? Just curious. We'll let it roll.
Oh, I'm so dumb. You're not. Well, we know better.
Well, and I would note that, by the way, Senator Cassidy, Republican, Senator Mitch McConnell, both condemned him for holding up Pentagon promotions. And on the extremism in the military, because it is true that the Pentagon has had to deal with white
Mitch
nationalists.
Mitch McConnell holds up Supreme Court nominations.
Yeah,
so he should keep his mouth shut.
Okay, well, real quick on extremism in the military.
Yeah.
DOD has been working to try to address this because it's so important that we not have racists and extremists into the military. So there's training programs to try to weed them out in basic training. So the fact that he doesn't even get that.
Explain
some of them have the racist tattoos on them.
When we talk about extremism, these are extremist views. Go
so
ahead.
Senator Tuberville is holding up these military appointments because he's saying that the military, by paying for women to travel from states that don't allow abortion, they are paying for abortions. So he wants the Pentagon to reverse that policy and say that you cannot be supporting a woman going to another
so
state.
So with all the
abortion.
Stories that we've heard of women getting abused in the military, mm-hmm. if somebody gets pregnant,
that's worse than a nationalist.
You know,
that's what he's
you're
saying.
Basically saying, I don't care.
Alabama needs more education, and he should, like, focus on that.
Well, and he was a coach at Auburn, a school that's a great school.
Yeah, but you know, remember,
just
because people have college degrees does not mean they have any life experience
right.
at all. It's crazy.
As Lynn Cheney says, stop electing idiots.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Fair. But those women did a far better job than of taking this apart and taking it down. And Jake Tapper. And since we're talking about white nationalists, and beyond those squabbling maggots up in Michigan, I mentioned this on the program yesterday, and then Dan and I got to talking and never got around to it, but it's actually more relevant today than it was yesterday. The QAnon shaman, otherwise known as Jacob Angeli Chansley, whom I have long since derided and described as a refugee from a Ted Nugent cosplay convention. Well, he's mad at Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is an avowed white nationalist. Nick Fuentes is also a giant dweeby loser. I mean, kind of goes with being a Nazi. This is the same Nick Fuentes who brags that because he has never had sex with a woman, he is more straight than other straight guys, and that it is in fact gay for men to have sex with women. The kerfuffle arose because QAnon shaman, for lack of a better term, QAnon shaman says that he was sort of defrauded because he accepted a speaking engagement from the Arizona College Republicans United, who were holding some sort of maggoty clavern rally. Now, this guy was jailed and convicted of obstructing an official proceeding before Congress, the QAnon dude is. And so he was going to go and talk Republican maggoty talk to a bunch of maggots in Arizona. But then he found the bridge too far. And the bridge too far turned out to be the fact that he would be sharing a stage with Nick Fuentes. So on social media, he asked, "When I agreed to speak at the Arizona College Republicans United event, I was not aware that I'd be sharing the stage with someone who wants a 16-year-old wife. Should I back out, or should I do the event and blow this schmuck out of the water and expose a false prophet?" And Chansley retweeted a video of a video of Nick Fuentes talking about women over 18 not being worth marrying. Nick Fuentes said, "I don't want to turn 30 and find some 29-year-old woman that I have something in common with. It's like, hey, properly aged like wine. Women don't age like wine, they age like milk." I can't even begin to imagine the woman that would have anything to do with Nick Fuentes. Lest you think I'm making it up. By the way, he's a Christian. He openly identifies as a Christian fascist. Sort of the same way that Matt Dysphoria Beard Walsh identifies as a theocratic fascist.
"No, bitch. I want to drink it straight from the tap. I want it raw. I don't want to wait a moment. Right when the milk is good, I want to start drinking the milk. Same thing goes with women. I don't want to turn 30 and find some 20-year-old, 29-year-old woman that I have something in common with, and it's like, hey, properly aged, like wine. Women don't age like wine. They age like milk. They don't age like wine. That's not how their hormones work. That's not how they work. Yeah, I gotta find my 16-year-old wife. Probably when I turn 30 or something. Because here's the thing. I don't want to be like, let's say I get married to a 18-year-old now. 6-year age difference.
He's 24. Granted, he sounds like his voice hasn't changed, but he's 24.
If I turn 40, she's going to be 34. Ew. What if I'm 30 and she's 16? 14-year age difference? When I'm 50, she'll be 36. When I'm 40, she'll be 26. Now we're talking here. Now we're cooking with gas. Now you can see an alternative vision for how things could be.
Does he cipher worse than I do? I'm just checking. The math department can check that out.
I want a 16-year-old that's untouched. Untouched, pristine. Untouched.
You know why these guys are so fascinated with girls who have not had sex? One, because they're groomers! Hashtag not a drag queen. They're groomers. And they are horribly inexperienced sexually. And they want a woman who won't know how horrible they are in bed. Oh, no. All guys do that. No, honey. It really. No. I promise. It just happens sometimes. Hashtag all guys.
Touched, by uncorrupted, innocent. That's what we all want.
We all. Who? Him and him. What is he, the Queen of England? That's what we all want.
And all 16-year-olds want an older guy who's, like, capable and strong.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not him.
And everything to sweep them off their feet. That's what everybody wants. That's what everybody wants.
If he hasn't already, I'm... Let's just say he's making some flashing lights blink and some sirens wail.
Boop, 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 boop.
As Matt in San Francisco notes, it's hard to pinpoint why he's single. Pinpoint. That was what the cowbell was for pinpoint. Which is not far from needle dick. And, of course, Nazis are needle dicks. So, it remains to be seen what... the QAnon shaman is going to do. And what he's going to do is be there.
I'm going to be there. Nick Fuentes' presence will not stop me from getting my message to the people.
And what is his message?
I'm going to show these...
Remember, this is a guy who pissed and moaned from jail that he needed a diet for his special religious needs. Hint. It wasn't because he's Orthodox Jewish or he was Muslim and trying to observe a halal diet. No.
I'm going to show these college Republicans what a real alpha male looks and sounds like, and it's going to be very interesting. Prepare yourselves, because this is going to be good.
Guest speakers and supporters, Arizona College Republicans United, Nicholas J. Fuentes, J6 political prisoner, Jake Chansley. And what's pissing off the QAnon shaman is that Nick Fuentes got top billing. Brought to you by the Prescott John Birch Society. Well, there we are. The Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, Culture War Criminal, Riders USA, Pima GOP, Maricopa GOP, Yavapai GOP, Liz Harris, and John Fillmore. Good times! It's at the Hacayampa Inn in the Marina Room in the on because the goddess of irony is a good goddess. The Hacayampa Inn and its Marina Room are on Gurley Street in Prescott, Arizona. Thank you, goddess. And so Jacob Chansley also tweeted an image side by side of the dude from 300 screaming with bodies piled up behind him at Thermopylae because he is a manly warrior, alongside a photo of the Buddha sitting under the bow tree. Yes, you can be both, says the QAnon shaman. And then somebody came after Chansley saying, no conservative uses right-wing watch as a source. You are a LARPer, perhaps fed. That's from an account called Chief Trumpster. And, of course, you know, Nick Fuentes has a backstory. Nick Fuentes' mentor is a creep by the name of Andrew Anglin, Nazi. And on some show, that some stream run by some other creep named Ethan Ralphs, Andrew Anglin said he believes in forced child marriage. There should be no age limit on getting married, and marriage should be consummated once she has her first period, as he said, around 14, 15, 16 or younger. I know this is obnoxious. I know this is disgusting. But it is also within the parameters of this program a prime example of who Trump supporters are. I wonder how many times Nick Fuentes has felt, what was that term Tweety used to use talking about George W. Bush, that he sent a tingle down his leg? I wonder how many times Nick Fuentes has had a tingle down his leg looking at that photograph of Donald Trump palming Ivanka's butt. Because that's a real photo. Daddy. God, they're disgusting. We'll move along, I suppose. But it is Titanic Tuesday, and we have some Titanic stuff. And I know Darlene in Connecticut says, what the fuck is wrong with these poor excuses for human beings? Their brains are broken, Darlene. They're sick people. They are perverts. They are groomers. They are unreachable and untreatable and uncurable. And so it's only natural that they're maggots. I mean, the original German Nazis were a bunch of perverts. But you don't have to look. God, some Ayatollah in Iran declared that women who were subjected to the death penalty, who were sentenced to the death penalty in that godforsaken place. This mullah said that any woman who was sentenced to death before she was executed should be raped so that she could not enter heaven as a virgin. Right-wing authoritarians, y'all. Right-wing authoritarians. Lee in New York. Nick Fuentes channeling Abbott and Costello. The routine's below. Here's the bit. Oh, dear God. And a reminder that once upon a time, there were things in this country that were decidedly offered up as comedy that they really probably shouldn't have been.
Hey there, beautiful. I want to show you something that has
Hold on, there's an ad. All better.
Look here. Say you're 40 years old. Now, wait, just a minute. Who's 40?
Hold on. Let's get this from the beginning. This is, yeah, you'll see why Lee was reminded of this.
Quiet. Look here. Say you're 40 years old. Now, wait just a minute.
Who's 40?
Just say, pretend
I'm
you're...
I'm a boy.
All right. Pretend
I'm
you're...
I'm a boy.
All right, wait a minute. Look, pretend
I'm
you're...
40?
Pretend you're 40 years old. And you're in love with a little girl, say, 10 years old.
This one's gonna be a pip.
Well, now, wait a minute till I finish it.
Now, I'm going around with a 10-year-old girl.
Well, wait a minute.
I got a good idea where I'm gonna wind up.
Will you wait a minute, please? Now, you're 40. She's 10. You're four times as old as that girl. Now, you couldn't marry her, could you?
Not unless I come from the mountains.
Never mind that. I'm asking you one little simple question. You want to answer it?
Well, go ahead.
You're 40. She's 10. You're four times as old as that girl. Can't marry her, so you wait. Oh, you wait 5 years.
I'll wait 5 years.
Now, you're 45. The little girl is 15. Now, you're only three times as old as that little girl, right? Huh? So you wait 15 years more. Now the little girl's 30, you're 60. Now you're only twice as old as that little girl.
She's catching up.
Yes, yes. Now here's the question. How long do you have to wait before you and the little girl are the same age? Now go ahead. Now there's a very simple question. Think hard.
I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
What's ridiculous
about? I mean, if I keep waiting for that girl, she'll pass me up.
What do you mean?
She'll wind up older than I am.
What are you talking
about?
And
she'll have to wait for me.
Why should she wait for you?
I was nice enough to wait for her.
Oh, stop.
Well, she thinks she is anyway. If she don't want to wait for me, I don't have to marry her.
Marry her?
She's a nice girl.
Wait a minute.
Okay, fair enough, Lee. Nice call. Although I could have done with the without the unless I'm from not unless I'm from the mountains part of it. Yeah. So that's the Phil Robster and almost to the halfway point of the program. Oh, back to my mention of Charles Lindbergh, Lee points out. When John Glenn died, Bill Flanagan on CBS Sunday Morning recounted an encounter and asked about Charles Lindbergh. Watch this later, please. I have to point out that Charles Lindbergh tried to repent. At least he tried. So, here at this point in the program, I'm going to take a little break because we have the Green News Report, and I hate to... not run it because I screw up a lot and forget to. So, Brad and Desi, take it away.
It's Tuesday, July 11, 2023.
Extreme dangerous weather has struck all over the country this summer.
And across the world. Surge of global heat, fire, and floods shatter records from North America to Antarctica. Extreme heat in Europe killed at least 61,000 people last year. Plus,
we have not seen rainfall like this since Irene. In some places, it will surpass even that.
Torrential rains trigger catastrophic floods in U.S. Northeast and Europe.
Good night, Irene. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Now, experts say everyone can help cool the planet by just using less gas, energy, and water. Adriana?
Great advice. Thank you.
Great advice, Elise. Thank you.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, we step away for a week, and every record across the globe for heat and flooding and fires and everything else has been shattered. Nice going.
Yeah.
I blame you.
Yes, please do.
Okay.
Might as well. Extreme weather disasters struck across the world, and the planet saw the hottest global temperatures in recorded history. First, Europe's climate service Copernicus announced that June 2023 was the hottest June ever recorded since the 1850s, breaking the previous record set back in 2019. Globally, ocean heat is setting new records, extending even deep down more than 6,000 feet. Off the coast of Florida, water temperatures have surged to as high as 95 degrees, harming marine life and corals, and fueling extreme heat and humidity on land.
95 degrees in the ocean water off of Florida.
Yes, and off the coast of Antarctica, levels of sea ice have plummeted to new record lows.
Of course.
And then, last week, the planet saw its hottest day ever recorded on July 3rd, and then broke that record on four consecutive days. That's according to unofficial data from the U.S. National Centers on Environmental Prediction. The University of Maine found the world has rapidly warmed over the past 44 years of satellite measurements, and at least as far back as 1850 in the instrument record data gathered from around the planet. Paleoclimate experts say these temperatures are likely the hottest in 125,000 years.
Other than that, everything's fine.
The surge in global heating is driving simultaneous intense heat waves in the United States, China, and North Africa. Algeria hit a stunning all-time record overnight low of 103 degrees Fahrenheit. 103 overnight. Another week-long stretch of extreme and potentially record-breaking heat is again forecast for Mexico and the U.S. Southwest. It's the second extended severe heat wave in as many weeks, with potentially historic temperatures 15 degrees above normal. A new study out this week calculated that last year in Europe, extreme heat killed at least 61,000 people. And the study authors warned that government strategies to cope with higher temperatures are not keeping pace with man-made global warming.
And this year is supposed to be worse than last year.
Yes. The spike in heat energy globally is also fueling a rash of extreme flood disasters across the world. Over just the last week, extreme torrential rainfall and deadly flash floods struck Spain, England, India, and Turkey. In the U.S. on Monday, intense rains triggered deadly historic flooding across Vermont and New York, where 9 inches of rain fell in 24 hours. Now, climate scientists say the increase in extreme rainfall, flood, and heat events is driven by two primary factors: humanity's ongoing emissions of heat-trapping gases from burning fossil fuels, and the return of the warming El Nino climate pattern in the Pacific Ocean. In a press conference, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said limiting global temperature rise to no more than 1.5 degrees Celsius is still attainable, but he castigated governments for failing to speed up their climate action.
The situation we are witnessing now is the demonstration that climate change is out of control. This is the moment in which we all need to assume our responsibilities. If we persist in delaying key measures that are needed, I think we are moving into a catastrophic situation.
We are moving into a catastrophic situation.
But there is some good news.
Really?
Really. China is on track to double its wind and solar capacity by 2025, achieving its renewable energy targets 5 years ahead of schedule.
That is good news.
And a new analysis in the journal Science has found that in the 1 year since its passage, President Biden's landmark climate law, the Inflation Reduction Act, is already measurably reducing U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. And the study confirms previous research, finding that the provisions and investments in the Inflation Reduction Act will drive down U.S. emissions by almost 50% by 2035.
And will that be in time?
No, but it's a very good start.
I didn't think so. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today because we didn't have the heart, check out our website at greennews.brandblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Twitters, and Mastodons at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dreams.
And in that regard, got a note from Jeremy in Vermont saying, subject line, weather. I grew up in that town where the falls are, Fairfax. The first two photos are a normal day there, and the next few were today after all the rain. Okay. Okay. Oh, dear God. And that dam's fucked. Horrible. Horrible, Jeremy. Just horrible. Darlene, I will take a look at that after the program because I have a feeling it's going to... BuzzFeed, I asked AI what the most beautiful person in 27 countries would look like, and here are the results. That's... Oh, that's some serious clickbait. Ooh, Scotland is yummy. So is Germany. Australia's not shabby. Jamaica is beautiful. Canoodlia. Such India. Ooh. Okie doke. Yeah, I'll be coming back to that later. Thanks, Darlene. So, anyway, we are halfway through the program. The fundraising goal is at $1,140. And we were saved from a goose egg last night by Joey and by Ralphs. And that's why it's not $1,180. And we are goose egging so far here on the 11th day of July. Any help is good help. Because, well... May put us in a hole. June dug us deeper. And now we're 11 days into July and we are down $1,140. Back to back to Nick Fuentes. Wait, says Brother Deacon Asa. What the fuck does Nick Fuentes know from a 30-year-old woman? He's barely 12. Okay, now I'm getting suspicious. Nefarious Nick here sounds an awful lot like our own Jeremy. Stop that. Has anyone ever seen Jeremy and Nefarious Nick in the same room? Brother Deacon. Jeremy's good people. Nick Fuentes is a Nazi. Oh, God, the Morans, not Morans, well, I mean, they are, but they're also Titanic, so, you know, we deal with it. They're on tap, just, okay, we can get rid of the Q&A, I don't even know how to deal with this. The so-called lab leak theory relative to the origins of COVID. That was a lab leak, and Dr. Fauci caused it, by the way, just as a sidebar. Rotted FK, take a moment with that. Rotted FK says that if he's president of the United States, he'll definitely prosecute Anthony Fauci. Jesus Christ, Rotted FK. Go the fuck away. Or just go over and be a Republican. Because you sure as shit sound like one. But anyway, the lunacy is everywhere. Introducing, because I don't think we've ever mentioned her before, representing Nicole Malliotakis. who sits apparently, reasons known but to the goddess of irony, who has her reasons, on the House Oversight Committee, and they had a hearing today. And she asked a witness in the hearing why scientists didn't take the lab leak theory seriously. And, well, hilarity ensued. Oh, the titanicity of it all.
That all of a sudden you did a 180, and it couldn't possibly come from a lab, or maybe, but you're all saying that, you know, this was by sure from nature. What happened in those 3 days?
Well, we examined the genomes more closely. We looked at other coronaviruses. And
bunch of science words.
There was some new data that came.
Where did that data come from?
The scientific literature, you know, the publication of the pangolin genomic sequence showed that there was a receptor binding domain that was very close to the...
Now, let's be clear. He said the pangolin genomic sequence. The pangolin. We talked about pangolins early on in the rise of the pandemic. It looks like a bougie aardvark. Kinda. But it still made sense to look at the pangolin and the wet markets. And remember, there are some folks who see the pangolin as a tasty snack. So anyway, but this isn't about the scientist using his egg-heady science words. This is about representing Nicole Malliotakis, a maggot from New York.
And exactly what my colleague here brought up.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
and it was a very important piece of data because it showed that a lot of the theories about
the
virus having been engineered or put together in a laboratory were not true, because here was a virus in nature that had a receptor binding domain with exactly the same structure.
I just find it all interesting based on what my other colleague here, the chairman of the committee, said in with reply to...
That's James Genius Comer.
Penguins, but
wait. I'm sorry, I over-talked her because that was the punchline. Let's go back and I'll shut up.
Sure.
I just find it all interesting based on what my other colleague here, the chairman of the committee, said in with reply to the issue of the penguins. But
penguins. Not pangolins. The penguins. Chinese penguins. And penguins is practical, and penguins is practically chickens. Whoo, I'm dying again. Penguins. Oh my goodness, voters of the, I don't know which district of New York you're from, but you must be so terribly proud. Penguins, yes. And the egg-headed sciencey science-talking science guy was actually Tulane University School of Medicine professor Robert Gary, who kind of explained how scientists do sciencey things. Penguins. Penguins, y'all. Stop egging my goose, Robin, with your goose-egging comment. I just sent you a few bucks, says Emilio. Thank you, Emilio. Thank you so very much indeed. So we will not have a goose egg. Thanks to Emilio getting us started. Just so you know, Jeremy says that somewhere in the world, someone is hankering for a happy pangolin, you know, a pangolin. Jeremy, have you been hanging out with Junior? Or is Junior hanging out with you? Do you hear how near dead the llama is, Jeremy? Just barely able to get back down the mountain. Jeremy. I got more, but I just realized I've done that thing I do, and someone's on the stress line, and let's find out. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Sid.
Hey, Tracy, what's up, hon?
Well, let me just read this to you. I actually pulled over so I wouldn't be driving while reading.
That's a good idea.
7/11/2023 at 1:30 p.m. in Central District Court, Department 47, case call for motion dismissal pursuant to PC section 1203-5.4. Stipulated, defendant is not present, blah, blah, blah. Defendant appearing by counsel. Court orders information deemed amend to allege count 01 as a misdemeanor pursuant to 17B of the Penal Code, and count shall proceed as a misdemeanor. So that meant they reduced my felony to a misdemeanor. Next scheduled event, motion dismissal pursuant to PC section 1203.4 as to count 1. Motion pursuant to section 1203.4, blah, blah, blah. It's hereby ordered that the plea of California Penal Code is hereby granted. It is hereby ordered that the plea, verdict, or finding of guilt be set aside and vacated, and a plea of not guilty be entered, and that the information be and is hereby dismissed.
Some of the most beautiful words I've ever heard.
You
can go to Canada now.
I can go to Canada now. Let's see. Motion pursuant to 1203.4, 1203.4A, Penal Code granted pursuant to Penal Code, such as H, blah, blah, blah. This record shall not be disclosed to any person or entity in any format, except to the person whose conviction, arrest, was granted relief, or a criminal justice agency as defined in Penal Code section 851.92. I can honestly say, if I go somewhere and fill out an application, have you ever been convicted of a felony? I can now say no.
No. And that's going to come in handy after you've got your master's degree.
Yes. Most definitely. I won't have to, if I need to get licensed to do anything, not to worry about it. Because I am no longer a convicted felon.
That is beautiful.
So I went, my court time was supposed to be at 1:30. And I get there, and it's, you know, I get there like just 1 o'clock. 1:30 comes, and 1:30 goes, and it scrolls into 1:45. And we're, you know, me and two other people were sitting there waiting to go into the courtroom. So an attorney went and knocked on the door, and the clerk came out. And apparently, so he was telling one girl that her date had been moved to October, and somebody else, even though nobody, we never, and so apparently it was a quick day, and the judge heard called my case at 10:30 this morning. But he's like, you're good. Your record has been expunged. So then I went down to, he's like, I said, do I get anything in the mail? Or he's like, nah, not really. I'm like, well, how the fuck? I didn't say it. But when he said that my record was expunged, you know, I burst into tears.
I would worry about you if you didn't.
25 years. This all started in 1998. 25 years of this bullshit hanging over me, and to finally be free of this, I can't even explain to you what I'm feeling.
it's just this weight has been lifted off my shoulders because, we haven't spoken in a while. I think the last time we chatted, we texted, I told you that, they took away my school van with no notice. And, oh, and by the way, I got a phone call yesterday from the Civil Rights Department, who I'm actually a personal friend with, their director. I have her case. She took all my, I told her about the information, because this is just retaliation for Jan, about Jan. And she's like, you have a case. If you don't get a phone call by the end of the week from one of our investigators, she gave me her cell phone number. And don't worry, but you have a case. Because I explained, I've been a school run driver since I started driving cab in 2007. I was a school run driver I was a school run driver for almost 6 years before Jan and I even became a couple. I was a school run driver for almost a year before I even met Jan. So her being my wife had nothing to do with me becoming a school run driver. And so with that said, basically how it worked by the way, yes, Jan is the one that started the program and grew it to what it is now. How it basically works for summer school. If your students, and all four of my students are going to summer school said it yesterday, all four of my students were going to summer school. All your students are going to summer school, you were offered your summer school route. Going, or all of them weren't going, and they had to put together a different school run route for you. You had the option of taking it, and if you didn't want it, it was fine. But you would get your route back in the fall. Easy peasy. And so I texted this, my former supervisor Patrick last Monday because I hadn't heard anything, and so he, little bitch ass, finally texted me back on Wednesday with this terse little message that all the school runs have been, if you will get, okay, this is what he said. If the school, since there's low enrollment in the fall, in the summer, anybody that's getting ahead to school run has already been given their route. Anybody else may be considered for the fall.
May.
That's never happened. It may be considered. Emphasis on the word may be considered for the fall. And so I was like, wow. And so then I called Anthony, who, let's just say, had Jan retired the way she should have been able to retire, Anthony would have been her heir apparent. She would have been tapped for the job. And so I called Anthony to, and he's like, he hadn't heard that I didn't have a school run. He's like, it has to be a mistake. There's no way. And then he had not realized just how long I had been a school run driver. And so he called Patrick. And so he's like, said, Patrick, when all this went down, I guess a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks back, and they got the routes, and he's like, there's some drivers that didn't get a route. And so the response was, well, they're independent contractors. They're not guaranteed a route. And so then he mentioned my name specifically. And then the same response, independent contractors, they're not guaranteed a route. Nobody has more seniority. There's only maybe one other person that has more seniority than me. And I asked Anthony, I said, so any of your drivers, because he's on a different campus, he said, no, all my drivers who have been with me for a while, they got a summer school route. The only ones that didn't are the drivers that just started in the program. I said, okay. And here's another thing. They're constantly asking for vans because when the school run, before COVID, we had all these school run drivers and the majority of which were van drivers. And then, COVID hit, a lot of people just walked away from their van and they've been having problems. They've always had problems getting van drivers. But even so much more now because the fleet has definitely been decimated because of COVID. And what is my taxi, Robin? It's a minivan.
Yeah.
So You screaming that you need minivans, and you dismiss the only black female, queer black female with a disability driver, who three of her students, two of which are young women, are black. And you dismiss me. Without, you know. And so when I called, I texted Capri using the text that you, you know, helped me with, you know, and as soon as I texted her, she texted me right back and gave me her contact person. And she also told her contact person to call me directly. And like I said, I talked to her yesterday. And here's the best part of the whole thing. Capri Maddox, who is, you know, the head of the Civil Rights Department at the city of Los Angeles, who's been, the department was basically formed for her. Because it just started in 2020. The reason, you know how I know her is because the president of the company who fucked me over, I drove her and her husband to the airport 2 years ago, and I've been driving them to the airport ever since. And I have, you know, Capri and I talk on a regular basis. And I've actually seen her at a couple of political events that I've been to. Oh, and she's personal friends with our mayor, Karen Bass. Did he fuck himself? Did they just fuck themselves with me?
If that office decides to go after them, it will not be pleasant.
No. And so, as a matter of fact, like I said, I'm waiting to talk to an investigator. And then, you know, I texted Capri to tell her that, you know, I've spoken to Kim, and she's like, don't worry, I got you. We're friends. You're family. Don't worry. That part.
Excellent.
That part. And so with all the, you know, because, you know, all the money that, you know, my car broke down how many times after Jan got fired, and we put in almost $8,000 into this car. Had we known, especially when we put in a new engine, had we had any inkling that I was not going to have a summer school run, do you think we would have put out that money? No way.
No.
My wife is unemployed. We could have used that money on something else. So, yeah. So that part. And so it's just been, you know, just the last few months, you know, with Jan being fired, my car breaking down, Kimba dying. It's just, you know, and then this shit. But then today, I'm beyond free. I'm liberated. Because I am no longer shackled to this felony.
And you are an actual recipient of justice.
I am an actual recipient of justice. And, you know, and again, this is one of those reasons why I will never leave California. How many states have this kind of restorative justice? Because this shit as fuck wouldn't have happened in Texas.
No, hell
definitely
no.
Definitely wouldn't have happened in Louisiana, Mississippi, or Florida.
Nor any of the other maggot Confederacy states.
Right. So people talk as much shit as they want to about my state. Fuck y'all.
Anybody talking shit about California is talking shit about California out of jealousy. Because you see, this is an example of something happening in California. It doesn't happen in many other places. This is actually an example of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, trying and working toward and seeking that more perfect union.
That more perfect union.
But I'm not going to let you off that easy.
Oh no!
You called in, and I got one for you.
Oh, fuck!
Before I brought you on air, I still have multiple stuff in the Titanic Tuesday stack, but Well, this one's just suited to you. For you.
Okay, bring it, bitch.
And by the way, Ralph's jumped in. Ralph's jumped in honor of the Chinese penguins. Jesus, God. Yeah. Nicole Malasitakis is going to make a name for herself like that. Maybe she was talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins hockey team during... I don't know. No. Penguins. And I'm sorry, I could not resist the reference to the Warner Brothers cartoon where the Bugs is trying to get the penguin back to the Antarctic, only he finds out at the end that the penguin is from Hoboken.
Yep.
And hence, Hoboken! Ooh, I'm dying again. But the one guy who's on the desert island or whatever starts hallucinating over the penguin, and I hate to see a penguin cry. And penguins is practically chickens. So that was irresistible. And by the way, I had a note from Dave and the Blind, who just took us down to, let's see. 1,101 dollars to go in the fundraising hole. Dave said, "Congratulations, Tracy. Here's a dollar for every year you suffered this shit."
So, oh wow! Thank you, baby.
Dave brought the fundraising hole, filled in the fundraising hole by $25 in your honor, Tracy, in your honor. And I thought that was terribly sweet. But coffee break's over. Back on your head. I don't know. I don't follow. I don't follow the NBA that closely. I confess.
No, neither do I.
So I'm not particularly conversant with who Royce White is as a former NBA player. But during the last big three league games on Sunday night, Royce White wrote on his head, "Trump won." Trump won. And so naturally, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells invited him on his rickety podcast platform for an interview. And Royce and racist Bannon found something they could agree about, because of course they're both maggots, but they figured out something they could agree on in terms of what's ruining this country.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
I'm sorry. I mean, it was that or we talk about raisins, okay? So, yeah, let's do Royce White instead.
Before I forgot to take a picture of this. I went to this amazing Mexican ice cream parlor, and they had, I forget the flavor, but it was a wonderful flavor, and I was so disgusted because it was an amazing flavor. I don't know what it was, but they put raisins in it, and I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Didn't even give chance.
Fuck you, no.
That's how a raisinist is. That's what happens with great supremacy.
I own that shit. I No.
Well, that's okay. Annette and I are going to watch Guardians of the Galaxy 3 this evening after the program.
You guys are going to have raisinettes?
No, I've got a pint of Haagen-Dazs rum raisin, bitch. So we're talking about raisins. So we're talking about raisins and Royce White. So I've got the clip here. You're gonna love this so much. Because Royce White and racist Bannon understand who's ruining America.
Of course they do.
You wanna place your bets before I hit play?
No. I'm good.
Okay.
We continue to say culture issues as a code word for Rube White, rural, Christian, heterosexual, male, nationalist, that are just focused on their wives being too mouthy, sir.
Yeah. Well, look, let's just be frank. Women have become too mouthy. As the black man in the room, I'll say that. I don't know whether we're talking white men or Asian men or black men or so on and so forth. But no, I'm serious. I mean, there was the thing that is scary about it, and I say this, and people will go, oh,
hold it. Can I officially say that Joy Reid's Black Girl Magic does not work with Royce White? I just want to make sure, don't take it from me. I just want Royce to say it.
Dog. You know you're going to send me off. You go to Joy Ann Reid, and if she's wearing a white woman's wig, you're going to piss me off this afternoon. I'm having a beautiful day without thinking about that scam. What I'll say is, you know, you take an operation like the Rockefeller Foundation and their grassroots fundamental support and sponsorship of the early women's rights movement and their involvement with the inception of the Federal Reserve and the ability of the Federal Reserve to tax the American working class twice with the insertion of women into the workplace. Now, I know we could look at World War II and say, hey, women had to step into the workplace because of the war. But when you look at the inception of the war, there might have been an economic incentive there as well. So, I mean, these things have a history. And the people like
FDR bombed Pearl Harbor.
That the modern American citizen is too hard up financially, too demoralized.
I'm going to say it.
And
Ginger,
too busy in their everyday logistics, whether it be with family or kids or, God forbid, going to the next Brazilian butt lift celebrity doctor to look into the history.
So women are some mouthy, shallow bitches who just want to get a Brazilian butt lift and don't understand that FDR bombed Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
Now, dude actually got something resembling a college education from Iowa State University.
Yeah. What's his name again?
Royce, R-O-Y-C-E, White, W-H-I-T-E.
Oh, yeah, boy, I didn't even get to finish typing in his name, sis. It popped up on the Google machine.
Yeah, he's from Minnesota. Sorry, Jessica. He was in the NBA and played all of three regular season games.
Oh, so he...
And he had generalized anxiety disorder, and he was open about it. And that led to him being unwilling to fly on planes with the team. And so he took the bus from city to city, which really, within the ambit of an NBA schedule, doesn't fucking work.
That's not.
And,
Now, if we had high speed, if we were,
eventually, he apparently got better and joined the Canadian Basketball League.
Oh.
He was the NBL Canada MVP in 2017. And led the Lightning of said league to the NBL Canada Championship, and he's in the semi-pro Big Three league, and that's where he showed up with Trump 1 written on his shaven head.
Oh my God. So we got another self-loathing black man, and I'm going to say it again. Ginger, please. But you won't let me say the other word.
No, I won't. Yeah. But yeah, so I guess, how did Joy Reid make it into that conversation, Tracy? Can you help me?
Well, because Joy Reid is everything that they fear for black women. She's intelligent, she's educated, and I don't know, she speaks truth. And she comes to, and when she speaks her truth, sis comes with receipts. And they can't handle that shit. this comes with receipts. And their little, you know, in their little fevered pea brains,
I wonder if she's going to do a takedown because this has all the earmarks of a proper media kerfuffle.
Oh, no. It's going to be like when Snoop Dogg came for Gayle King. And I think it was the Snoop Dogg's mom or his grandmother that said, boy, I raised you better than that. And he has to apologize publicly? Yeah. I mean, first of all, I mean, he should know. Okay. Not that I know, again, like you said, I don't follow basketball. And then the time that the old boy, you know, played all of 3 seasons, and now is he still playing in the Canadian League?
Yes, I think.
Or is he just...
Yeah, because he... Well, no. No, he's playing in the Big 3 League as a semi-pro.
What the fuck is the Big 3 League? See?
It's the first I've ever heard of it, actually.
Okay. Like we said, full transparency. Neither one of us give a flying fat fuck about sports. How for never? We know enough about sports. We know this motherfucker ain't got no... He ain't got no... He's a wannabe. He's a fucking tool. And he's going to come for Joy Reid, who people, when you say her name, they actually know who she is. I mean, shit, I have to look the fool up. Shit, this stupid ass mate. See, this is why we can't have nice things.
I think you're right.
Right here. Because this fool, I mean, how are you going to come, I mean, and okay, here's what to say. Wait, let's just do this. Have we gone on the Twitter and put his name on the Twitter to see? Because when did this come out?
That's like today.
Okay, let's just put it in the search, Royce. Right, man, it just came up, bam.
Okay, maybe it was Monday because the last Big 3 League game was Sunday night. No, that was today. No, yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday.
Well, here's a bunch of his supporters. Here we go. Somebody named Grace Chong. Royce Wright is putting a D-State on notice in front of the nation during the CBS Live national broadcast of the Big 3 basketball from Dallas, Texas. Almost 60 years since JFK assassination in the city. What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Not a damn Protect, thing. But bear in mind, the reason he winds up on Race at Stevie 3 Shirts, rickety little podcast, is because he has announced that he's running as a maggot for Congress in the 5th Congressional District of Minnesota. So now we have to click and find out who that is.
Right. There's one with question marks. Royce Wright. Who's this motherfucker? Oh, and of course he's being touted by Rudy G.
There's your answer. The current
is it Ilhan Omar?
Yes, it's Ilhan Omar. And he will call her everything but a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the Republican Party has found them a one of the good ones. Because I take it that district is majority-minority.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to find a self-hating black person. Well, no. That district is 63.6% white, 16.6% black. No, it's a white majority district. They have voted in every presidential election since 2000. They have voted for the Democratic nominee. This is a
deep... nobody keeps saying NBA baller. He's not in the NBA.
Three games.
So you can't. Oh my goodness. Let's see, Joy Reid. Because you know I'm not on, Twitter and all that.
And what? Wait. So, now, hold on a minute, because I need some cultural help from you here.
Oh, here we go. Also, now I'm speaking for the black people. Okay.
Well, you know, black woman. Yeah.
Okay. I'm good. Okay.
What is this thing? He goes off and said. I mean, did you caught it? Joy Reid, who wears white women's wigs.
He was.
Did you not hear that part?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because Steve Bannon says, and we'll just say that Joy Reid's black girl magic doesn't work on you. Yeah. Yeah, Joy Reid wearing them white women's wigs. I did not know that wigs had an ethnicity.
I didn't either.
Now, I'm guessing it might be problem. Okay, white girl. I'm guessing it might be problematic if I put on, like,
an Afro wig?
An Angela Davis big old late Afro 60s wig. Afro wig. That
or,
might be a problem.
Cornrows or locks. No, honey,
this is all growing out, and when everything is done, I'm getting me some Bo Derek cornrows.
You're messing with me, right?
Yes.
Don't do it. Please don't, because then you will never, ever, ever, ever be invited to the cookout. Ever.
They will burn my invitation at midnight.
Mhm.
Mhm.
Oh, so well, I'm looking on Joy Reid
in a black mask. See what I did there? Black mask. Ha.
Uh huh. Well, I'm looking at Miss Reid's, you know, and there is nothing on her feed, on her Twitter feed at this point, about the asshole. Because I'm pretty sure, like I said, what's probably going to happen. She might not say anything, but I'm pretty sure her followers will.
The magic black girls?
Oh, yeah, this is... This, oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, no, this is... It's when this... When...
Oh, wait, I was wrong. Back up. I was wrong. He ran in 2022. For the Republican,
oh, he did.
Yeah, for the Republican nomination in that 5th congressional district. But he got his ass handed to him by another Republican because among other things, he blathers on about the integrity of the 2020 election, but he also has a proclivity for talking about the satanic influence of the federal government. And I'm about to say it, and if you call me out, I'll own it. Dude sounds like he's about halfway to Hotep. He's about halfway to Hotep.
No, he's not halfway. He's there. No, because when they start spewing this, you know, saying that, that. You know, black girl magic. Those are talking points. And so when you start saying, you know, first you say Joy Reid and that her black girl magic doesn't work on you. Well, because first of all, you gave up your black card a long time ago, bruh. A long time ago.
And apparently he's been problematic before. He started out in college basketball playing for the University of Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. And he was a big deal coming out of high school. He was Minnesota Mr. Basketball in 2009. Two times he was Minnesota State High School League Championship team member. And so the University of Minnesota offered him a scholarship, and because you know they wanted to keep him home. And then he had to. He transferred to Iowa State there in, what is it, Ames, Billable Rick? Is that Ames? Because he got suspended from the Golden Gophers for theft and assault. It stands to reason that a guy who's got a backstory of assault might be prone to talking about mouthy women.
This is like, you know, like what happened when my sister died and my brother tried to come to my house and try to tell me that my minister could not speak. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm you're going to roll your happy black ass if it's in my house and tell me what's what? I wish a motherfucker would. And he left it alone. He just like, yeah, I think when he saw that I wasn't having it, he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. So it's like, for me, for people like him, the only difference between him and the brothers that be standing in the court, that are standing on the corner with their microphones and their 100% cotton, whatever they're wearing, and with the strings hanging from them and screaming about, you know, the stuff that they rant about, the only difference between him and them is that, you know, he once played for an NBA team and he has a quasi platform and only give it to him by people like Steve Bannon. Because see, here's the thing. He wouldn't last 5 seconds. Forget about Joy Reid. Because see, this is what I love about these fools. They go on these shows where they're not challenged. Right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
And could you imagine if he, hell, he couldn't even last on your Filthy Morning Habit. I think Mika and Joe would rip him a new one. You know? So he goes on, you know, he'll go on shows with Steve Bannon and if what's his name? Burned and roasted in hell on a spit with an apple in his mouth for the rest of his life. Limbaugh, if he would go on his show, or if does Alex Jones still have a show, or is he just done?
No, Alex Jones is still there.
Okay, he'll go on his show, or Ben Shapiro, or that little dweeb master, you know, that little dweeb master that you were playing earlier in the show. He'll go on their show. But could you imagine him on the show, or he'll go on Jesse Peterson's show, or H, what's his name? E.W. Jackson show?
Jackson.
But I dare him. I triple dog dare him to, you know, because you'll never go on Joy's show.
The
but
View.
He would be decimated.
The View.
Or The View. Oh, ooh,
go up against Whoopi.
There'll be an ink stain where he was sitting. After she finished with him, it would just be a puddle of ink. And then let him try to go on Roland Martin's show or Tavis Smiley's show with that bullshit. You see, these shows
It would be at least entertaining. You know who I'd love to see him go on a show with?
Who?
Candy-O. Candace Owens. You know, Ben Shapiro in Black Drag.
In Black Drag, right. My thing is, wait, is Stacey Dash still trying to get her black card back?
Wait.
Because
no. but she could. He could go on Candy-O's show, and they could self-hate together.
Okay, and get all the black self-haters. So, you know, Michael Steele. Well, he's trying to redeem. Fuck you, Michael. Him and Clarence Thomas and all these people. Colleen Noir. And all this, let's just have a show. You know, I would love a round table. How about this?
Leave Fappy alone.
What? I want a round table of these fools moderated by, let's see, who can we have moderating it? Somebody, let's see, I wouldn't even know who would moderate this shit. What self-respecting black person, what a modicum of self, you know, of self-assurance and, you know, unapologetically black would even waste
Melissa
their
Harris
time.
Perry.
Because see, I miss her.
I do too.
But the thing is, why would we subject that queen to this shit?
True. Here's an alternative. Dr. Eddie Glover.
Okay.
The guy.
No, you know who? Okay.
I think I know what you're going
to
say.
Ahead,
go. No, I think I know who you're going to say. Go.
Henry Louis Gates.
That wasn't. No. Okay.
But you see why? Because because he's not. I mean, he's a brilliant man. Don't get it twisted. But he's not. I wouldn't call him, you know, confrontational in any shape, form, or fashion, or anything like that. So that might do because they won't. I don't think they would be scared of him. Who were you going to say? Don't say Al Sharpton.
Yeah. Don't say Al Sharpton. Okay, Al's off the short list. Who delivered that fiery eulogy at Aretha Franklin's funeral?
Oh, Eric Michael Dyson always get his name.
That would be good. He would be good.
Well, see, the problem though, he has a real vocabulary though.
Yes, he does.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
but he also knows how to use the word trifling.
Yes, he does.
Because
yes, he does.
Royce White is right trifling.
Right, because it was. I remember the meme during, you know, because he ripped Trump a new one during that funeral, right? And a whole lot of other people. And there was a meme of sort of like, you know, like feverishly turning, going to like a dictionary, looking up, trying to keep up with the words he would say so they would know what they meant. Me trying to, you know, keep up with Eric Michael Dyson. that eulogy, now I'm going to look that up because that shit was fire. There was nothing left of the people that he talked about, you know.
Yeah,
but
just a big old greasy orange stain.
I think I do agree with you on that one, but
Eric Michael Dyson because I'm thinking, you know what?
Well, that or yeah, or who's the other Princeton professor? Who am I thinking of? Because I've actually seen him debate like Candace Owens.
Oh, you mean Cornel West?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Calling Candy O's sister all the time. Yeah.
Right. When that, because I sent you that. I sent you that
yes.
debate.
Yeah.
And he has the true meaning of Christianity and giving people grace and stuff. How for never. He don't suffer fools either. So, I'm Cornel West. I don't think they can handle Eric Michael Dyson. It would just be no. But they could do. But then Candy, you know, Dr. West did kind of, but just straight up had to Candy her aunt in such a way that she even realized that she was having her ass handed to her. She didn't even get the memo. And people talking to her about it a couple of days later, it's like, sis, do you realize you got your ass handed to you? What are you talking about? It was a wonderful conversation. Dr. West was beautiful. See, that's when you know when you get your ass handed to you, when you don't even, everybody else around you knows that you got your ass handed to you. But you're so dense and obtuse that, you know, and caught up in your own hubris that you have no idea that you've just been dressed down. Because, you know, you fucking know him. You know, I got some
emails to share. Christopher writes in, Black Maggots Baller. Oh, hey there, Robin. Did you say Canadian Professional Basketball League? The Canadian National Basketball League. It's the NBL of Canada. I can hear New York Steve screaming from 2,000 miles away. I can just see it now, these guys wearing padding and a visor with a pencil in their mouth, scratching their heads. Why is the net hanging down from 10 feet in the air? Love you and love and miss you, Tracy. Sending my love out to you and Jan.
Thanks,
and Alex.
Chris.
Christopher's such good people.
He's such a sweetheart.
Adding to our potential list of hosts or moderators, Darlene in Connecticut says, how about Ta-Nehisi Coates?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. No. Michael Harriet.
Michael Harriet, yes. Because he would Michael Harriet needs to be honored with the Mark Twain Prize.
Yes, he does.
Clarence writes in from either South Carolina Stan or the road. Subject line Royce. Robin, this guy is your classic bullshit artist, just like Trump and Bannon. He's trying to stay relevant, but his less than effective NBA... Hold on. His less than effective NBA career has derailed his aspiration. I have no sympathy for him. He doesn't realize that he's being used by Bannon. You know, because Rotted FK is also...
Wait. I just got... Here's this one. Remember what he just said about being... He doesn't realize he's being... So the Herschel Walker House Negro... The nominee for the 2023 Herschel Walker House Negro Award goes to...
Envelope, please. That's me opening the envelope. Royce White!
And the Carlton!
And it's a statue that looks like Uncle Ruckus.
Yes!
Sorry.
Or even worse, the tar baby.
Ooh, you went there.
What? I went there and I do not care. I do not care. Because he deserves it. We need to come up.
Wait, this is a precious, this is a precious moment for Randy Radar. I was watching a portion of Big 3 basketball. Semi-pro, you said. I was wondering why no one could hit the basket.
Oh,
But did you get to almost
what
the
a
victory
sick,
or whatever
what a
it
sick,
is?
As the hip young kids say, what a sick burn.
Sick burn. What is it called again? The big three?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so Ice Cube owns the big three. You forgot to mention that.
Well, you know, and that's a classic little segue, because all these Republicans running around go, I ain't going to call a man by a woman's name because it ain't the name they was given when they was born. I love me some Ice Cube. That Mr. Cube, he's really something.
Right. So in 27, when did Ice Cube start? God, I love Google. And I said, I've even heard of the fucking Big Three. In 2017, world-famous rapper, actor, filmmaker Ice Cube helped launch the Big Three. The 3-on-3 basketball league aimed to gain attention and adoration by using former players and international basketball stars. Ice Cube.
It's 3-on-3. Oh, Big Three. Okay, 3-on-3.
It's 3-on-3 basketball.
And, you know, I mean, there's a traveling baseball team out there called the Savannah Bananas. And they've got some fun, different
are
rules.
Are they like the equivalent of the Harlem Globetrotters for baseball?
Yeah, kind of, but I don't think they've got a standard every game team like the Washington Generals were.
Okay.
But they've got different rules, and apparently it's... What, you just look up Savannah Bananas?
No. Top story. 6 hours ago. Wait for it, sis. Ice Cube warns Adam Silver, and I know that Adam Silver is the NBA commissioner, right?
Yes, yes.
That Big Three could steal NBA talent.
Maybe Dennis Rodman will come out of retirement.
Oh, Jesus. Ice Cube or more Big Three disrespect. It's a lot of bullshit in the air. That was 26 minutes ago. Ice Cube blames NBA for limited Big Three league coverage video. Nobody gives a fuck.
Mr. Cube, no one cares.
No one cares.
We got a giggle from Darlene. Oh my God, you rustling and opening the envelope sounded eerily reminiscent of Trump rustling and opening the classified documents to show the publisher who had absolutely no clearance to look at them. LOL. Well, that's only because I never could have done this, Darlene, if it was not a real actual bag full of real actual crackers from Chicken Salad Chick in Bristol, Tennessee. See, y'all ain't got no Chicken Salad Chick in Los Angeles, and more's the pity.
Whatever.
They got the world's best chicken salad. They got a chicken salad that's got Fuji apples and pineapple and raisins in it. No, there's no raisins, but they
fuck
do have
you
one.
And your raisins.
They do have one that has dried cranberries, which are almost raisins. They got a jalapeno chicken salad. They got a buffalo chicken salad. They got a chicken salad that's
raisins look like little roaches.
Yeah, what? And just as Richard Pryor said, and you ate them too, and they was good. Honey, them weren't raisins. Them were roaches, and you ate them, and they was good.
There's a roach. Okay. Oh, here's another one, because I think I tried. I don't know if I sent you this. So 50 Cent is all upset because, you know, we're trying to do no bail and stuff like that in Los Angeles. And he did this whole thing saying that, you know, it's going to be mayhem and all that because of no bail. And so.
Wait, I thought 50 Cent, was into the thug life. Wait, what?
What? Exactly. Again, Ginger, please. So 50 Cent congratulates Ice Cube on Big Three milestone. So there was a milestone there? Well, you know, now I'm upset with this whole Big Three. 50 Cent has congratulated Ice Cube for his latest milestone when it comes to his trailblazing Big Three basketball league. Nobody heard about this until, I mean,
Ahead of the 3-on-3 league sixth season this summer, the Big Three was officially recognized as the first black-owned major sports league in the United States, thanks to Ice Cube Vision at the helm. So, we can. So let's unpack that.
Let's
yes,
do.
We're gonna give. We're gonna give. I'll give my brother the props, even though he's a fucking seller. This is the same man that said fuck the police, and now he's up Donald Trump's ass. But so okay, I'll give you some props about you being the first black man to own what they deem as a major sports league. Again, I ain't never heard of the fool, so I have a problem with saying major sports league, but let's just play around with that. But yes, in the NBA, there are still no majority black owners in the NBA. Magic, I just said Ronald, Jesus fucking Christ. Magic Johnson. It wasn't for basketball, it's football, because he's trying to get, and they keep meeting and coming up with excuse after excuse. He's not even trying to get full ownership, he's just trying to get a piece of the, he's just trying to get his beak wet, in the parlance of,
The Godfather.
The Godfather. So, you all up and proud of the fact that you got, that you are the owner or you the founder of a league that ain't nobody heard about. You try to tell Adam Silver that because let's face it, what NBA players, because I know he don't have the sponsorship that can match the money that an NBA player will make. And it's 3-on-3 basketball. This is the shit you play. At a pickup game on the court, in the park, or at the beach, right? Come on. And like I said, and 50 Cent, because he, I'm fresh, I'm tired. Let me see if I can find that article. 50 Cent Cash Bell. Because it was just, like you said, he's trying to be all Buzz Whiffrick and all that. And, Oh, yeah, here it is. And this kept New York Post magazine, New York Post. 50 Cent warns Los Angeles is finished after city reinstates no bail policy. Rapper 50 Cent is shaking his head over L.A. zero bail. Watch how bad it gets. How bad is it going to get at this?
What you're seeing, ooh. I think, we've talked about it in the past. There are some deeply conservative streaks inside, and boy, do I feel stupid talking about this, inside the black community.
Incredibly. Okay, you did your Richard Pryor white guy's voice. But see, and this is, I think of how, it's amazing to me how black women are deemed as, loose and hoes and stuff. And all that goes back to, especially during slavery and after, emancipation, it was a way to justify us as less than human. So if we got raped or anything like that, we had, you brought it on themselves. And so, but black, when I was growing, I was a virgin until whatever. Most of my friends were virgins. We were never going to do that icky, disgusting thing where they do the pledge, the father, what is it, the daughters say that they're the purity pledge.
Oh, yeah, the purity ball.
In the purity ball, and you pledge. To me, that's some, I'm sorry, I think that's just incest waiting to happen. It's this misogynistic idea of what the woman's place. And, there's many black men that feel that the only place of, is literally barefoot and pregnant. That part.
Yeah. We
have no right.
Their manhood is so fragility, so fragile, that anything, any manifestation of a woman's strength and power is to be attacked. I mean, we've got the same thing coming from Tommy the Tuber, over on the white side of the street. The senior senator from Alabama, Tommy Tuberville.
Oh, that motherfucker.
Yeah, who is trying to fuck the entire United States military because women can get abortions in the United States military.
You know, I think you've said this a million times. If you're against abortion, okay, don't have one.
Precisely. But, like, for instance, for the first time since 1910, right now, this moment, right here, for the first time since 1910, the United States Marine Corps does not have a commandant, okay? The head Marine, the top dog, is the commandant of the United States Marine Corps. We don't have one right now because Tommy the Tuber has held up his nomination because he's mad that if a woman who happens to be in the United States military, say, gets raped, she can go, because rape happens rather a lot to women in the military.
Yes.
If it happened once, it would be too many, but it happens a lot more than once. And if she gets pregnant, she can go and abort the rape baby.
And usually it's from a fellow person, and, you know, a lot of times it's from a superior officer.
Yeah.
That part. Mm-hmm. But he wants her to be able to have the rapist baby because the rapist, you know, they have rights.
It's not the baby's fault. Well,
sweet Savior. Sweet
it's Lord. Half of the baby's DNA's fault. Isn't
it? That part. And why should you force a woman to care for her rape? You know, I just this is idea that I could be forced, you know, and I have these conversations with people because you know me and I don't suffer fools. And one of the things I talk about is like, I don't want to, you know, about leaving California. Yes, there are states that are way cheaper than California, left and right, that, you know, however, I like my rights, sis. You know?
Yeah.
I like knowing.
And you get kind of uppity when people try to take them away.
Right. And I, you know, and going back to my expungement, if I lived in any other state other than California, I think there's maybe three other states that have this restorative justice happening. Maybe three out of how many? 50 fucking states? There might be a couple more. But the bottom line is, this is something that is not, that this shit like this should be a national law. You've served your time. It's, you know, it's right up there with, you know, like with the credit report. Because I have a feeling that that whole thing about the 7 years, it has to be something biblical. It has to be something biblical. I could be wrong, but you can't apply. So if you have been convicted of a felony, you have to wait 7 years before you can get a, you know, you can apply for a job. You have to wait 7 years after. But what happens when you need to have your job now? What are you supposed to do in the 7 years to take care of yourself, to keep you from recidivism and all this other bullshit? But you got to wait 7 years just to get a job that, you know, that would be, you know, construed as somewhat decent. And the same thing with your fucking credit report. I have this one credit card, and it was during COVID, and, you know, a lot of people spaced out. It was one of those credit cards that actually has a zero balance. But since they, and so what they do is they charge the yearly fee by the month. So I have a late thing on my credit card, on my credit report for $6. $6. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those credit cards that I got when I was trying to reestablish my credit. And so, yeah, so now, so that happened. So it'll be 3 years in a couple of months. So I got to wait 4 more years to get that black mark
off of my credit report for $6. And when I called them about it and said, you know, can you, you know, I've been a customer for X amount of years. Can you take it off of my, you know, my credit report? Oh, we don't do that anymore. And I can't close it because I got the late thing on it. So, you know, so can somebody in, you know, the Horn family community, can somebody look up what it is about the number seven? If it is, because it just seems like it would be something in the Bible that you have to wait 7 years to clear up your record. So I need to know what the basis of that is. Why 7 years? Why do you have to wait for 7 years to do anything? And so that's, you know, because because the way this country is, it just seems like it would just be, you know, like I said, it just seems like it's something biblical. You know, that's just my idea. I don't know if I could be right or wrong, but I mean, that's what is this? How do you think? What do you think, Robin? Am I far off? No,
you're not at all crazy. Not at all.
Because that just sounds like some biblical, and I'm a Christian, but that sounds like some biblical bullshit. That cherry picking on what part of the Bible you want to, you know, acknowledge and pay attention to. You know, because that whole thing about, you know, my wife and I being an abomination, but you could go ahead, it's the same Bible that says, you know, you eating, you know, seafood shells. Shell seafood and catfish and all that. Now we're talking, like, especially in those Confederate states. You trying to tell me, like, in the Gulf of Mississippi and Louisiana and all that, those motherfuckers ain't eating them no some shrimp and some catfish?
Yeah, well.
And swining and dining, pork on their fork. Ain't that shit an abomination?
Yes. It absolutely okay. is.
But you're going to concentrate on
cherry
my
pick
wife.
It. Cherry
pick it. That's what I said. They're cherry picking the bullshit. You know, I don't know how many of these preachers,
Hal Sparks used to have a bit. In fact, I heard him do it on the Libboat cruise eons ago. But he said, I've just got this vision of, you know, standing in the, because Hal was raised in Kentucky, so hillbilly, and got the same sort of religious upbringing I did. And he said, I've just got this, you know, they burned the idea of the Day of Judgment into me. And if you read the Old Testament, there's no way you can keep from committing some of those sins, one or another. And he said, I can just see me standing at the seat of judgment, watching a guy who committed murder, but found Jesus in prison, be told, yeah, come on in. And I get there, and they're going, nah, you're straight to hell. I get down to hell, and I'm down there with all the other people in hell, and they go, what are you in for? And he said, I ate a shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I just happened to run across this. I don't know who this guy is. But since it's Tracy Takes On. Remember Tracy Takes On? I love that show.
You're right, Tracy Ullman,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I there's no way I can play this through the computer. So I'm going to have to hold this up to the microphone. And this is some dude on TikTok, because this is big. People getting on TikTok and talking. Dude bros getting on TikTok and talking about the women folks and the purpose of women. And, oh, this stuff.
Sweet mother of God.
Jesus, they're so stupid. I saw some incel commenting about how happy he made his girlfriend because he gave her a bunch of orgasms because he banged her cervix.
He did what?
Because he hammered her cervix.
He hammered her cervix.
Yeah, because he's, you know, such a man.
It's all over the place. Oh, my God, it's all over the place. Arguing that women have periods because they're not supposed to eat meat. And that only women who have impurities in their bodies menstruate. It's all part of the overarching, you know, masculinity movement, you know, like Josh Hall and Ass is into, and you know, manly men of masculinity, like, oh, the guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, or little Benny, my wife is dry Shapiro, who just got caught buying trans porn. So here's this dude who.
But that was for research purposes, right?
You don't have to buy it when you're researching it. So this is some this is some random brother talking to the world in his car. He's still got his seatbelt on. You ready? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Get your hockey puck.
Okay.
See, listen, man, women were made only for three things. They were made to obey men, to reproduce, and to take care of children. If you read the Bible, that's the only three things that women were made for. So you can argue with whoever you want to argue with. But if you read every story about every woman in the Bible, they were made to be wives, to reproduce, to obey their husbands, and to take care of children. That's the only thing that women were made for.
Got that? Which reminds me of something that our pal Texas T sent me on Facebook the other day, which just, it cremated me. Because I was dead. It was a meme that said, I heard some guy refer to the Bible as the Goat Herder's Guide to the Galaxy. That's for you, Texas T. I don't know where you find them. But it will forevermore be the Goat Herder's Guide to the Galaxy.
The Goat Herder's Guide to the Galaxy. Ooh!
Isn't that good?
Oh, my God. These people. Yes!
So the Bible makes it clear that you, Tracy, were not put on this earth to drive a cab or have a degree in African American studies or be pursuing a master's degree. No. And you definitely weren't here to put here to drive a cab, or, you know, in the biblical scheme of things, a chariot. And by the way, today is today would have been the birthday in 1920, so it would be his 103rd birthday of Yul Brynner. And I saw
they're having a thing. Go ahead, baby.
No, you.
No, they're having a Yul Brynner exhibit at some museum, and I'm going to have to make my way over there because fucking Yul Brynner. You know?
I saw a publicity shot of him from the Ten Commandments, and
Oh, sweetness, Jesus.
And the funny thing is, and I was talking to Miss Terry about it, you know, he plays Ramses II in the Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
And you know, he has all these problems with Moses. Well, he also plays the King of Siam in The King and I, and one of my favorite of his lines in speaking with Mrs. Anna is to say, Moses, Moses, Moses. Who is this Moses? I am thinking this Moses shall have been a fool. Do we like my Yul Brynner? That was impromptu. I think that was pretty good.
I think that was pretty fucking good, man.
I am thinking this Moses shall have been a fool. That's right up there with Mrs. Anna. Take a letter to this Abraham Lincoln. I am wanting to send him some elephants. I do not know how one wages a war without elephants.
Elephants.
Such a problematic play, but oh my goodness.
Oh,
But let me tell you, I think I told you that that was the King and I was one of the plays, you know, a couple of seasons ago. That and I mean, but the set, especially the when they're arriving on the ship and they had the ship, you know, and like Miss Saigon with the helicopter. And My Fair Lady. So problematic. So incredibly problematic.
Good.
But so fucking good.
See, we did, we used to have, when I was growing up, we had something called Florence Summer Music Theater. And I couldn't sing a lick, so I was, but there was always a non-singing role for me. So the very beginning of The King and I, when Mrs. Anna Leon Owens and her son are on the ship heading in, I played the captain of the ship with a big old bushy glue-on kind of, you know, Amish-looking beard. And, you know, because apparently, men, you know, it's kind of an Abraham Lincoln-y beard, and I had a naval uniform, and actually, it was a guy who was a couple of years younger than me. Well, a few years, like 5 or 6 years younger than me, playing Mrs. Anna's son. And the play opens with me saying, "Ugh, you see those lights, boy? That's Bangkok." And that was my. But the best part, and I mean, the director was this wonderful. Church organist direct, and so he directed all the Florence Summer Music Theater plays. And you know the March of the Children? Na 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 na. Well, the last dress rehearsal, and the littlest, you know there's the littlest one who runs up and she's so adorable, the littlest child of the king,
right?
Remember? Well,
yep.
So the orchestra is playing that overture, and we get to notes at the end of the play, director's notes, and the director, and this is a very close approximation of his voice. "People, we have got to pick up the pace of this play. This is not, The King and I is not a 4-hour epic. The march of the children." And so a little girl, precious little girl, named Victoria, played the littlest child of the king. "We've got to pick up the pace. I had to play 48 additional bars. 24 for Victoria alone."
Oh, no.
And poor little Victoria just broke down in tears.
Poor baby.
But it was just, I think it stays in my, because it was hilarious. He was so beside himself. "I had to play for," it was like a cross between Jim Backus and I don't know. "I had to play 48 additional bars, 24 for Victoria alone." And he went on to, we did Camelot, we did 1776. God, what all. There was one about a presidential election, and the candidate's name is Wintergreen, and I remember the song "Wintergreen for President." No singing. We have a very deep hole. We're $1,101 in the hole, and I'm singing at the end of the program. What the hell is wrong with me? By the way,
because you know, if you don't,
go
sorry,
ahead,
baby.
No, you.
No. My question. I was going to ask. You know, on a happier note. Have you been able to watch the Star Trek Strange New World?
We're started. In fact, I think we've got some catching up to do. And I'm sort of torn between just letting it all go and binging it, or... No, I love it. I love it. Episode 2 just destroyed me.
Oh, episode 2. Oh, yo. Oh, just, man. I mean...
the whole...
Oh, I was bawling.
Because now... I haven't watched... So now I got to go back and watch Discovery. Because I never watched Discovery. And so now I got to, you know, go back and watch Discovery.
You really don't have to.
Because I didn't know that... No. Only I don't have to, but I want to because Christopher Pike is on there. Spock is on there. Spock's mom's on there. And... Plus, it's helmed by a black woman, so how could I not?
I get your point. Yeah. Clarence just wrote in agreement with you. Cafeteria Christian. Tracy's so right on the point. Down here in South Carolina, every Sunday after church services, the church folks head to Red Lobster or any other seafood eatery. Those folks are cafeteria Christians. They pick and choose what they like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell all those Christian South Carolinians mm-hmm. they can't have no shrimp and grits no more.
Right!
And not to ruin it for anybody, but I'm kind of will. You know what the nearest land-based living thing relative to a lobster is? Cockroach.
Say it. That's what I was going to say. I knew it was cockroach.
Good too. Yeah, you ate them cockroaches and they were good too, weren't they?
And it was good too. And no, and they were clean too.
And clean too, yeah.
What?
Oh, by the way, Irish Dave with a little consumer helpful tent. Consumerfinance.gov. Maybe Tracy can do this to dispute that entry in her credit report. Consumerfinance.gov, ask CFPB, how do I dispute an error on my credit report? So if you put, how do I dispute an error on my credit report in your browser, it'll probably send you that link to consumerfinance.gov.
Because that's such a bit. $6? Seriously, y'all? So I have a 30-day late for $6. That is just, you know, it's just... But like I said, you make a one fuck up one time, and you're fucked for 7 years. And I, when it comes to certain things, you know, talk about the government.
And you're right. It is biblical because in the Old Testament you get the concept of Jubilee, where God says every 7 years you wipe the slate clean.
What did I just say? Didn't I say that shit was biblical?
I did. Yes. I'm agreeing with you.
No, but I can't, because I just, because of the whole, and the way this country is going and the way they allege that the country should be, and I knew some Republican or Christian or whatever, but you know what? We're going to hold people responsible for no matter what the situation was for 7 fucking years, and then you get to wipe the slate clean. That's just bullshit. To hold people back for 7 years, there's so many things that can happen in those 7 years, and that's part of depending on how old you are, that's a long time. But unless it's a student loan, then you're fucked because that doesn't go away after 7 years. No, you can. I guess it could go off your credit report, but you can't declare bankruptcy and have it removed from your your debt.
Well, I have got to get out of here.
Bullshit.
I am so proud of you for getting that.
Yeah, you do.
Getting that expungement. I am so incredibly happy for you. Because God knows.
Because California sits.
Yeah, and God knows you deserved it. And yes, deserving has got something to do with it.
Yes. So thank you guys. I know, and Christopher, I do owe you a phone call. I promise I will call. But it's just.
And Jude sent a note. Jude sent a note, said, just now tuned in, and I've wondered if all's well with Tracy. I'll listen to the podcast later. Do send my best Tracy's way. You too, dear Robin. Thank you, Jude. Thank you.
Thank you, Jude. But it's like, with everything that's been happening, basically in the last year, it's just, from toward the end of last year up until now, it's just been... felt like limiting snickets, a series of unfortunate events. So for something to finally go right in my life after 25 years
of me going through this, I feel redeemed. And I really, truly feel like I feel liberated. So that part.
Hear, hear. And by the way, Tamara jumped in and said, hey, Tracy, yep, 7 years is related to Jubilee. Now, does anyone know if 12 Supreme Court justices is because of the 12 apostles?
Oh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
We're getting in a little prayer meeting Wednesday a little bit early, mm-hmm. but that's cool. Tracy, have a good night, hon.
Yes. You too, baby. Love you.
Love you. Bye. Somewhere on the mean streets of L.A. That's our pal Tracy. And that's it, y'all. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Tomorrow's fundraising goal, hey, Brother Deacon Asa, will be $1,401. Ouch. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger this evening in the chat room. Thank you also, Steve. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow, I hope. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like, subscribe, follow, love the podcast. Tell your friends and neighbors. Leave a comment for the algorithms. By the way, I should share a note with you from our dear friend Dan Fisher and his brand new podcast, Let's Talk 10. It is now available in Apple Podcasts. Apparently, we did the magic last night. So he was terribly excited about that, and he said he had so much fun with the conversation last night. And we did. We had a blast. And he even went so far as to look up Joe Besser, and yes, the name of the cartoon was just Genie. I told him I looked it up, too. We probably need help. But that's the way funny little brains, these little fun, interesting little big primate brains. And thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thanks, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you can. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. Never know what kind of stuff they've been huffing and they're breathing out again. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry some with you, pocket or purse. We got hand sanitizer all over the place. We got it right here in the studio, we got it in the house, we got it in the car, we got it in our purses. Yeah. And of course, if some conniving jackass comes towards you on the streets talking all about how, if I'm president... If I'm president, I'm going to prosecute Anthony Fauci. Well, in that case, avoid rotted FK Jr. like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.